Maniacs, welcome back to another episode of Guardians of the MCU. This is episode number 24, and we are recording this on Monday, November 5th, 2018. You've got Tim, you've got John, there's no Lizzie.
It's what happens when you go to California.
Yeah, yeah.
The lights are bright. It's a different time zone. There's Disney.
Exactly. I was just going to say, there's another Disney. So that makes Liz happy. And so she spent a few days out there. She just got back into the Orlando area, I believe. Which, of course, you know, could have meant that we put our feet down and said, damn it, Liz, get on the show. But no, we're being nice about it.
Tim, we have both done cross-country flights more than once.
True.
It would suck to then, like, have to, like, run home and jump on a podcast. Not that this isn't fun, but yeah. This can be brutal flights.
Yeah, very true. Next week, John.
Yes?
I think we're going to be recording from your apartment again.
That's true. That is very true.
We like, just before we clicked on the big red button on the show here to record, John and I were kind of getting plans set in motion. I'm going to be heading down to the DC area to help John out with some stuff for a few days, and I'm going to be there Monday, I think. So we're going to have a chance to sit down face to face and record some stuff.
Are we going to stare at each other face to face, or are we going to put a camera up so Liz can see us too?
We'll have to. We'll let Liz see us. I mean, Liz is always welcome to come up to DC too. And
how is she with a hammer?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure I trust her with one.
Okay. Can she just entertain us while we work?
That would be fine.
Okay. So for those who haven't followed along, I bought a new house and am in the process of doing some renovations. So Tim is kind enough to come while I take a week off to knock a lot of it out, come and lend a hand and some tools and a truck.
Yeah, it'll be a good time. We get to destroy some things, build some things.
Drink some wine.
Eat. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
Good times. I'm sure folks will hear about it. So, jumping into the news, we don't have a whole heck of a lot for this episode, but I think we have some good stuff. First of all, interestingly enough, going into November, as we are, there will be no new MCU content this month, and that is for the first time in 16 months.
Does that mean we go on hiatus for the rest of the month?
No, it does not.
Okay. Well, that may be why there's not a lot to talk about, weirdly, for the first time since we started this podcast.
Yeah. So this is just looking at the stats here off of comicbook.com. And they're talking about both Marvel Studios in terms of the cinematic side and Marvel Television on the small screen, saying combined they've put out a steady stream of shows and movies every single month, beginning with Spider-Man Homecoming and ending with the release of the third season of Daredevil, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. So, and it says, unfortunately, we're not going to get anything in the MCU until after the Thanksgiving holiday, and we'll then have to wait until December 21st when the second season of Runaways drops on Hulu. And I've actually, I think we're all kind of ignorant here of Runaways.
Yes.
I don't know that any of us have assimilated that. I actually just got done watching two of the Star Trek Next Generation Borg episodes, so assimilation is very much a term in my head now.
I don't have Hulu, which is why I haven't seen it.
Ditto. So, yeah, but it's been a heck of a run. We've certainly have had a lot to talk about. We're still going to have a lot to talk about, folks. Have no fear whatsoever in that. The MCU news continues to roll in. reasonably heavy. Once in a while, we get lighter weeks like this, but it's pretty consistent. Next up, the MCU has actually won its first award of the award season. So the award season kind of always seems to enter rather gently. You know, we're not talking about the Academy Awards or anything just yet. But we are going to be having the 2018 Hollywood Film Awards. And Black Panther has already been announced to be the winner of Best Film for the Hollywood Film Awards. So that's pretty awesome.
Very well deserved.
Yeah. Yeah, very excited about that. And as we've talked about before, they are setting their sights on getting Best Picture for the Academy Awards coming up. When are the Academy Awards? January, February, right?
Somewhere around there. I want to say later than that, maybe March, but...
Okay. I mean, that's kind of the big thing. I mean, you've got stuff like the Golden Globes and some other things, but the Academy Awards are they're really the big one.
They are, and I think it was either on this podcast or somewhere else we talked about, you know, the difference between, you know, what they consider Best Picture versus kind of most popular, and how there's still a disconnect between. You know, you'll be curious to see what happens this season. In years past, you could definitely see Black Panther kind of getting snubbed, so to say, for Best Picture, even though, you know, it did tremendously well, both in the box office and with fan critics.
Mm-hmm.
And is it, you know, but the Academy doesn't see that as, quote unquote, a Best Picture, so... Does there need to be a different category for ones that are extremely popular among the people, for lack of a better term, that maybe all the critics don't necessarily want to vote for?
Well, and the Academy Awards in particular had introduced this new category, which lasted about, I think, a month and a half until they had a lot of pushback against it, because really all... that was going to end up being was a popularity vote.
Okay.
And I think that folks really want to say, look, I think there was some understanding in what they were trying to accomplish in terms of that concession, but they don't want the Academy or anyone else who might be doing such a thing to simply be dismissive of a film because it is popular, and essentially saying that it may not have the artistic value that some other movies might. So that idea lasted about a month and a half, and then the Academy held up their hands and said, "Okay, we give up. We're going to do away with that, and we're just going to go back to what we were doing." And you know, hopefully, we are going to see. I think it would be great to see a superhero movie do really well at the Academy and across all the awards. And obviously for years, we've been seeing a lot of issues in terms of the lack of diversity in the awards as well. And I think Black Panther is a really strong contender for it.
All right, correct.
And yeah, I mean, it really was, it was a heavy hitting movie in so many ways, and I think was incredibly well written. There was great acting in it. There were great effects in it. I mean, it should hopefully be up for awards in a lot of different categories. And for as great as Infinity War was, I think that from an artistic perspective, I think Black Panther was better.
Oh, absolutely. And I liked Infinity War better, but I think Black Panther, yeah. When you look at the different criteria that films tend to be judged for these types, when you get into the award seasons, Black Panther was the better film for that, even though I enjoyed Infinity War more.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I kind of hold the same opinion.
They should make a category for the best film that took 10 years to actually make. then we'd be talking about something.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So you just recently finished Daredevil season 3.
I did.
Congratulations.
Thank you. It was
spoiler free.
Spoiler free when I have comments with this. And I was shocked that in the first week of its release, Daredevil had a 57% drop in viewership from season 2.
Hmm.
Which to me is a bit scary because that's on par with Luke Cage, which saw a 59% decrease, and Iron Fist that saw a 64% decrease.
Hmm.
My opinion, spoiler free, people, and I'm looking at you, Tim. Literally, I'm looking at Tim. The magic of Skype. Go and watch season 3. If you like character development, if you like good story arcs, if you like good action sequences, go and watch Daredevil season 3. It may be one of, I would say season 2 is my favorite because of the aspect of the Punisher and building the Punisher character, and I've always been a Punisher fan.
Mm-hmm.
Season 3 is fantastic. The development of both the character of Daredevil, of Kingpin, of Bullseye. Sorry, spoiler if you haven't figured it out by now. Bullseye is a character in season 3. I think that's pretty widely acknowledged. But even, you know, Karen Page, Foggy, there is some great storytelling in season 3. It was one of those seasons that I finished and I went, crap, it's done. And then I went back to episode 1 again. And I'm way behind on a lot of stuff, folks. But it was just, and maybe it's because of how disappointed I was with Luke Cage and Iron Fist, but was really, really happy with Daredevil season 3. And when I saw that there was such a decrease in the numbers, you know, that was disappointing only because it raised the fear of, well, crap, or is this one going to be the next one, you know, to get cut? And I certainly hope they don't go that direction because it was, as much as I was meh on Luke Cage, I said in one of the recent podcasts, I really did not care for the second season of Iron Fist. I really enjoyed Daredevil season 3. So if you were jaded by the other shows, folks, go and watch it.
Cool. Very cool. No, that sounds good. I definitely do need to watch it. And I think I will probably go back to Iron Fist season 2, but I think at this point I'm just going to put on pause any watching, albeit slow, that I've had of that, and just go right to Daredevil season 3. I'm not missing anything by doing that, am I?
No, absolutely not. And Vincent D'Onofrio between him and Charlie Cox and what they do with their two characters in terms of the development of them on so many different levels is just fantastic. Is a good reminder of what good, and I'm going to say television, but for me growing up with television, which was weekly serials that you had to, you know, wait week to week for, it seems weird to still call this television because, I mean, it is, you know, if you're like me that streams like 4 episodes in a row, is it really television or is it a movie with, you know, 30 second breaks in between episodes? but it is a season that you can watch that it is completely bingeable, and it tells a good story through 13 episodes that, you know, there's no filler. It is a good story through those 13 episodes.
Cool. Very good.
So, Tim, knowing you will like it. And
excellent.
And Liz, who's not going to listen to this episode, she would like it as well. and Mike, even though, you know, you run DC podcasts, you will like this as well. And Eric, maybe.
Nice. So speaking of streaming things, we do have a bit of news when it comes to the world of MCU streaming. It got announced a few days ago that there will be probably
maybe
a Falcon and Winter Soldier series coming probably to the Disney streaming service. So why we're giving just that touch of doubt in here is that nothing has been officially released, although the news came out from Variety. Folks have heard me say before, if something comes out from Variety or Entertainment Weekly, it's like 98% certain. I mean, these two outlets have some terrific ins in Disney as a whole, as well as Marvel more specifically. And so usually when they release stuff like this, even though they say in the article, Marvel and Disney declined to comment, it seems to me to be pretty certain that we're going to see this. They have announced that they have found a writer for it, which is going to be Malcolm Spellman. And Spellman wrote Empire.
Yep.
So this is, and they say in here that this is actually the first of the proposed Marvel Limited series to actually find a writer. So they're definitely, it seems they would definitely be moving forward with this. Now, they definitely do not say in this article, it's interesting because when we saw previously like releases about the Loki series or the Scarlet Witch series, they very specifically said that, hey, you've got Tom Hiddleston and you've got Elizabeth Olsen playing these parts. Here, they did not say that Anthony Mackie or Sebastian Stan were signed on for their roles in this series. I would expect that they are, given that we have a great precedent already going for it now with
Olsen and Hiddleston.
With Olsen and Hiddleston, so you know, we'll see.
And it can't be, I don't think it can be successful unless you have them.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, I think at this point people are kind of expecting that continuity. And it almost seems that because Marvel has so many options of characters that they could take into the streaming series, that if for some reason they couldn't secure the actors that we're familiar with, they may sideline that series and just say, we're not going to do it.
Oh, 100%. My only, and I have never seen an episode of Empire, so I'm not familiar with the writer's work. I would hope that this series is a good mix of, I mean, to me, this is the quintessential buddy cop show. And yeah, they showed their comic timing in Civil War.
In the back of the Volkswagen?
In the back of the Volkswagen, in when they're in the airport, in the fight scene.
Yeah.
The two of them showed the chemistry they have. I think a good combination of drama, some action, as well as some humor, which AKA is a good buddy cop, you know, TV show, yeah, or movie.
It's a good formula.
I think would be fantastic.
I agree.
And one that would make this series incredibly successful.
Yeah, I think it would. It would be nice to see. I mean, folks know I'm not a huge, huge fan of Bucky / Winter Soldier. And a lot of that really comes from the fact that while they've spent a lot of time on his character, it doesn't seem that they've developed him as a person. I mean, he doesn't have a whole lot of speaking roles. through a lot of films. He's always been like this silent, brooding assassin.
Because that's who he is.
Well, because that's who he is. And I think that we would like to see him a little bit more. I think if we see, if we have more of a focus on him and we have a little bit more kind of almost candid type of stuff with him, that I think Falcon can really draw out. And I love Anthony Mackie in that role. I think he's fantastic. I think he's very clever. He's very funny. He plays the role really well. I think he has a pretty good moral compass for the character. And it's interesting to see. Yeah, I love the interplay of the two in Civil War. And I think it works. I think it absolutely works. So it should be fun. I'm looking forward to this being confirmed by Disney.
Oh, absolutely. And I for those that have listened through all the different podcasts, this won't come as a shock to them. I actually enjoy Winter Soldier more as a character than Falcon. I think I will agree to some aspects they haven't developed his character in speaking roles well, but he plays the character true to form. And sure. I do think, you know, has developed him. I think Anthony Mackie does a great job as Falcon, but I've never been a huge Falcon fan. I mean, so I think he's, you know, he's okay as a sidekick.
Well, hey, now Bucky gets to be the sidekick and you know, Falcon's going to be the headliner. So I'm totally happy with that.
And folks, if once this is announced, look forward to weekly recaps as Tim and I talk about who's the sidekick and who's the lead in the Falcon Winter Soldier buddy cop film.
Oh, yeah.
As long as they don't get on motorcycles and go touring around California, I think we're okay.
Yeah. Well, and that's another great mention, though, is that with all these series coming out, once the Disney streaming service hits, we're going to have all these different, these other things to be talking about. And I'm personally, I'm hopeful that they don't just dump them all out there so you can binge watch them.
Oh,
I would love to see them release them episodically, week for week. I like that build of anticipation. I mean, yes, I do also for certain shows. I love to sit there and watch 3, 4, 5 episodes at a time. That's fantastic. But I also love that anticipation of you watch an episode, you wait a week, you watch an episode, you wait a week. And there's something about that.
I could see them playing around with that format back and forth. I mean, you've got the Netflix formula and Amazon's done it to a degree of you're right, dump it all at once. But HBO is still quite successful at releasing shows once a week. Regardless of how they do it, I would like to see them intersperse it with, and I don't say new content, which is weird to say because all of this is new content, but with content with characters we're not as familiar with. So sure, do a Falcon and Winter Soldier, but then do, you know, something that's not already tied to the MCU so that you're introducing new characters, new actors and actresses, new concepts throughout the films. And we're going to pause because I want to go back to our last topic, because as I was talking about new characters and new concepts made me think of Miles Morales and, you know, a great opportunity to introduce more of that character into the MCU, which was the segue. I will throw out, and I missed it, so I throw this out there for Daredevil people who have not watched season 3, is there is a Parker Morales reference in season 3, which when I read it, I was like, damn, that's really cool. I want to go back and find it. So do keep an eye out on it for, because it is, in my opinion, a really cool Easter egg that they threw in there. It has nothing to do with Spider-Man. It's just the two names. But it is nice. A cool Easter egg that they dropped in there. But, you know, that goes a bit back to my point. I mean, find ways to introduce characters that we haven't seen yet, characters that are well tied in the Marvel, you know, comic universe, and start to introduce them to the MCU as kind of a you know, test bed. And who knows what you're going to, you know, they may find that's going to be the next, you know, hot thing that either takes off really as a series or a TV show. I'm sorry, a series or a movie. But some of that. So I'd like to see them. I love what they're doing with the current MCU. I just really want to see them branch out.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of potential with these. And so we had mentioned the Scarlet Witch series, which is going to be coming out on the Disney streaming service, starring Elizabeth Olsen in that role as she has in the films. And I think to no one's surprise, they've just recently announced that Paul Bettany will be reprising the role of Vision in this series, which I like. I think that's great. I like the character of Vision. I want to see Vision get explored more. I mean, he truly, quite honestly, Vision and Scarlet Witch are probably the two most powerful superheroes in all of the MCU.
Yeah.
I mean, they're an incredible duo, but on their own, they're both insanely powerful. And in the MCU, they really only scratched the surface of it. They obviously work well together. They have a relationship. I'm hoping that the whole series really isn't focusing so much on their relationship. I mean, I want to see some exploration of their powers, and I want to see some evolution of the characters, which I know does involve some of their relationship, and I'm fine with that. I'm just hoping that they don't go too overboard with it, and I'm pretty confident that they won't.
I want to see the Vision make more goulash.
Yeah, Vision could, like, have a cooking show.
I mean, I think that'd be
great. That's actually his day job.
I think he'd be fantastic at it.
And it certainly makes us wonder, I think, with all of this, what the time period is that they're going to be doing these series in. Is this going to be post Avengers 4? Is this going to be some other time period in between, like Civil War and Infinity War? Because there was a time jump there, mm-hmm. and there were things that these characters were doing in that time period that they alluded to in the beginning of Infinity War, but didn't really dive into so much. So, yeah, I'm just kind of wondering when these are going to be taking place.
And I think they can. I think they're going to vary based on the characters. I mean, obviously, Loki can't be at this point post Infinity War. I mean, you could say the same for, Falcon, Winter Soldier, and Vision's role as well. So, I mean, I we don't know the results of Avengers 4. So I think I'm fine with some variation with it. So going to my last point about new stuff and the comment about Scarlet Witch, and Tim throwing an audible here, which I know your quarterback in New York's not used to doing. What are your thoughts on using the Disney streaming service to, in this miniseries format that they're creating, to do and explore some of the, I don't want to call them alternate universes, but, you know, they're more prevalent within kind of the X-Men series, you know, from what I know of, you know, Scarlet Witch was very famous for her alternate reality in the mm-hmm. creation of what was the comic series, The House of M, mm-hmm. Where she basically gave everyone everything they ever wanted to create an alternate reality so that,
yep.
And it was kind of undone because one of the biggest things Wolverine wanted was his memories back. So when she gave Wolverine his memories back, he also knew that this was an alternate dimension.
Right.
Of exploring, whether it's the Age of Apocalypse, the House of M, using some of this to, you know, kind of flesh out those comic stories, which were very popular, but you really can't make a movie out of because, I mean, they are an alternate universe. But, I mean, they were, I mean, the Age of Apocalypse and the House of M, it, you know, Marvel goes back and revisits, I feel, every 5-10 years and kind of tells another story involving it. You know, of using it to create, you know, some of those stories as, you know, outside the traditional MCU, but with still some of the, you know, same actors and actresses that play roles just to tell other stories.
Yeah, I think there's certainly some potential to do that where, you know, they don't have to make these things grand cinematic arcs. And they don't have to spend a movie on it, but they can spend a few episodes of a streaming show on it and, you know, do kind of arcs within their limited series, or if it's big enough, do a limited series on it. I think it can be a good playground for them to kind of explore some of these different things. And, you know, specific to House of M, which is like a mind-blowing series, and I know a lot of folks have had different theories about House of M and how they can do it in the MCU, because the M in House of M stands for Magneto, because, of course, in the comics, Scarlet Witch is the daughter of Magneto, and in the MCU, they weren't able to do that because Marvel doesn't own rights to Magneto, so they had to kind of make a separation there.
But they can...
We don't...
They changed that in the comics. I'm virtually positive they changed so Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch were not Magneto's children.
I believe they did, which is where Marvel got the ability to feature them.
Yeah.
In the MCU also.
Yeah, so I mean...
But I think really the origin story that most folks regard for Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver is that they are the offspring of Magneto. So, you know, and of course that's one of those things up in the air that will Marvel resolve this once they own the Fox properties and have the rights to the mutants back? Are they going to retcon that, or are they just going to kind of give it a pass and you know, do whatever?
The Fox Quicksilver is Magneto's son, so...
Yes.
I mean, they got to do some retconning of one Quicksilver is dead and one Quicksilver is alive. One was a mutant, one wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've got some splaining to do.
Well, and I think that's one more reason why Marvel has zero want or desire to maintain anything that Fox did with their properties in the continuity of the MCU.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to hit the giant red redo button and say, okay, everything from this point forward is now going to be canonical, or, you know, whatever term they actually want to assign to it. But I don't think anything that Fox has done to date is going to be carried over into the MCU.
Minus Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman.
Because Hugh Jackman is perpetual.
Hugh Jackman will always be Wolverine, and
yeah.
Disney can go suck it on that.
and I mean, they have mentioned, Feige specifically has mentioned that, yeah, you know, we're probably going to continue on with Deadpool over here, but as we've also discussed, I think on this show and on other shows, Deadpool is a very specific thing, and he's kind of has his own little micro universe, because, like, don't expect to ever see Deadpool become part of the Avengers or anything like that the MCU. It's not going to happen. It's simply not appropriate for the character.
But it would be hysterical.
It would be fantastic. I would love it on one hand, but then on the other hand, it'd be like, oh, they spent a movie in the continuity on this, and I would have such a hard time processing that.
But see, Deadpool would be able to convince Thor to put his hammer on the toilet so that nobody could then use the toilet. And they could make like a whole thing of like people going in there and like cursing Thor out, and him and Deadpool like standing outside the door just laughing about it.
Yeah. See, Vision could move it, but Vision has no need to use the bathroom.
Well, exactly. I mean, but all the other Avengers would be trying to lift the hammer, and they wouldn't and they wouldn't be able to. And it'd be, I mean, I'd laugh at that.
Yeah. All right. So moving on. Folks might remember going back a year, even as far back as a year and a half, there was some discussion on a series called The New Warriors. And comicbook.com put out a pretty good article here basically saying, hey, whatever happened to this? And so for those of you who don't know, I'm going to kind of read a little bit from this article because they summarize things very well. They say exactly a year ago today, Marvel Television and Freeform, which are both owned by Disney, released a joint statement revealing the previously announced New Warrior series would no longer be airing on Freeform. Nearly 18 months ago, so going back 6 months prior, Freeform had initially announced that they ordered the show straight to series with an initial 10-episode order. They had apparently shot a pilot, which had reportedly tested very well. And then from that point forward, no one really knows what happened to it. Now, most notably, this was going to be the series with Squirrel Girl in it. Which I know got a lot of commotion because for some reason, people really want to see Squirrel Girl. I don't know why.
That's fine.
Teach their own.
Yeah. No. No.
Mr. Immortal is another character. So, I mean, this is really like B or even to some extent C level characters that they're drawing from within Marvel Comics to bring into this. So it was going to be on television. It was going to be on Freeform, and it never ended up not doing so. So that said, there's kind of some rumors saying that, well, maybe they'll end up doing something with this on the Disney streaming service just to basically add more content, since they kind of already have a story and they've shot some stuff. Maybe they'll continue shooting some things. You know, my guess is that all the actors were released from their contracts. So to try to get them all back can be a challenge. So they may have to just completely go back to the drawing board on this one. I don't think we're ever going to see it again.
No.
I don't think we're ever going to see it at all.
Yeah. I mean, it seems a bit of a stretch to put out there, whether it's the streaming service, whether it's on Hulu, wherever it ends up, as something folks are clamoring for. I mean, just based on the name recognition of the characters within it, they would,
yeah,
if they want to go in this direction, there's a lot of different options they can go with. You know, even doing, I would say, like, you know, a Young Avengers, and I don't want them to copy off of what DC's doing with Titans, but, you know, Titans has characters with name recognition.
Sure.
Doing something along those lines.
Yeah.
But I agree. I mean, I think it was thought out. It just didn't come to fruition, and time to move on.
Yeah, I agree. John, take this next one for us.
So what you guys can't see, because this is an audio medium, is I'm waving my hand in front of my face.
Because I can't see you.
Because you can't see me. So, John Cena, and for those of you who are not familiar with the name, is a professional wrestler within the WWE who has done some acting to mixed reviews.
Yeah, not well.
you know what? You know, I was going to try to be generous to him. But Tim's
fine.
But Tim's right. Not well.
He's no Dwayne Johnson.
He is no Dwayne. He's no Dave Bautista.
True.
Posted on his Instagram site with no caption associated with it, Captain America's shield from Civil War. Which had
with the Black Panther scratches in it.
Yeah, the Black Panther scratches, which has led to a lot of speculation of, you know, his role. Is he the next Captain America? Just a lot of speculation with it. I will say this. John Cena is no Dwayne Johnson. Or Dave Bautista.
Or Chris Evans, for that matter.
I would say, you know, well, I like Chris Evans, so, I mean, we can get debate into the hierarchy, you know, but that, regardless, that would be a horrible choice to sign John Cena or make John Cena the next Captain America. He's not a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
Not to take away, he's been a workhorse for the WWE. He holds all sorts of records for them. I don't even think he's that good of a wrestler. You know,
he has been trying to spread his wings a bit lately over the past year or so. I mean, he's even been a co-host on the Today Show.
He has, and I will give him credit for trying. He has things that he's good at. He has things that he is not so good at. He is not Captain America.
No.
And, you know, There are nothing confirmed, nothing Disney has said, nothing he has said, nothing. It very well may be that he was feeling, hey, I want to post Captain America's shield today. Who knows?
Yeah. So the funny thing is that I ended up finding a good article here off of Men's Health of all places. And they say in here, Cena's trolled fans like this on Instagram before, so don't get too excited just yet. It's noted he did the same thing with HBO's Watchmen series, and Cena posts a lot of weird stuff on Instagram without any captions. He's recently also posted memes involving Star Wars and SpongeBob SquarePants, and no one speculated that he'd be joining those properties.
You know what? I would be more okay with him joining Star Wars. If he wants to join SpongeBob, well, you know, that's each their own. But I mean, let him put on some Stormtrooper armor.
Sure.
I'd even be okay if he did as You Can't See Me as a Stormtrooper.
That might be a little too much for me, but
hey, you know what? Even better. Give him a Jedi robe as opposed to the you know, like the finger twirl. He can just go to, like, You Can't See Me, and, like, that'll be how he does his Jedi mind trick.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And you guys can talk about him on Echo Base.
Yeah. No, he has a great personality. He definitely puts himself out there and tries.
And
he just doesn't seem to really have the chops for quality acting.
And I've just spent however much time bashing him. The dude is phenomenal in the work that he does for Make-A-Wish, for things involving veterans and our troops.
Yep.
He when it comes to giving back to charities and for great causes, like those two and so many others, John Cena is a stand-up guy. And I do follow professional wrestling, so I'm aware of some of the stuff he does. I have no doubt he is a great individual. He's just not Captain America.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Tim, I'm just going to let you know. And when I do this tomorrow, feel free to retweet it or repost it or whatever you do on Instagram. Tomorrow, I'm going to take a picture of my Captain America shield and I'm going to put no caption to it. And I would like you to put it on the Random Chatter Twitter page or Instagram mm-hmm. page. And then I want people to speculate that I've been cast as the next Captain America.
I will start that rumor.
Okay.
I will gladly start that rumor.
Because I have the hair. I don't have the body, but I have the hair.
Yeah. You kind of have the scrawny pre-soldier serum body.
I do. If I could spend 8 hours a day in a gym, I tell you what, Kevin, I know you listen. You've taken some of our ideas. We appreciate that. I am happy to be the next Captain America. I just need that signing bonus so I can get in the gym 8 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Hook me up with Dwayne's, trainers and everything else. I can get that body. I can. I just need the money to quit my day job first.
Yeah.
And then Tim, when that happens, Random Chatter gets the exclusive.
Sweet. That will be awesome.
Yeah. And All right. But only if Liz calls me boyfriend.
That's not going to happen. So on to something more realistic.
Oh.
We're not going to talk about Deadpool.
That hurts because it's true.
I know. So we've mentioned before that Deadpool 2 is going to do a holiday time re-release in PG-13. They're going to, they've apparently done a bunch of reshoots and they're adding, I guess, around 15 minutes of additional footage. They have reshot certain scenes so they can kind of change the language, or other contexts, if it's visual, if need be, with some of these scenes. And, they've even renamed it. So this is not just simply the Deadpool 2 PG-13 cut. It is going to be titled The Deadpool Before Christmas.
Oh my God. I kind of really like it, but.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Apparently it was, there was an earlier, potential title, which was going to be Once Upon a Deadpool. But I guess the Deadpool Before Christmas is what they had settled on. So, yeah, December 12th is when it's coming out. I even though I've seen Deadpool 2, I own it on Blu-ray. I'm going to go see this because it just absolutely seems worthwhile to see with 15 minutes of new footage. And it's Deadpool and it's going to be funny. And I don't think anyone in my family is going to go see it with me, but that's fine.
Will they jingle his balls?
They might.
Okay.
They might. And that's about as explicit as this episode's going to get, John. So the great thing is that I'm actually expecting early to mid-December to have another surgery. So as soon as I'm able to drive, I'll drive myself to the theater. And I'm just going to sit and watch Deadpool.
Tim, most people don't look forward to surgeries.
It gives me time off.
Yeah, but sadly, this is like an annual thing for you.
This will be 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
4 years in a row. But.
Those damn hair transplants still haven't taken effect, have they?
No, they haven't. It's tough.
This year's year number four, Tim.
Yeah. Well, and Lou's been on like some weird experimental hair growth drug, which hasn't worked for those purposes. It's had some other strange side effects, but yeah, hasn't grown a bit of hair for Liv.
Oh,
I'm not opting to go that route. For those of you who have seen Venom, you know that, you know, those kind of voluntary medical experiments. My God, John, have you seen Venom yet?
So, Tim, what else do we have to talk about?
Well, clearly the show is over.
All right. So, pulling the curtain back, I told Tim, I said, hey, there's a movie theater, Tim knows, he's been to my house, that's, what, a block and a half from my house, Tim?
Yeah, just about.
And it was showing Venom at 9:45. And I said, well, there's really zero excuses for me to not go and see it.
Mm-hmm.
So Saturday night, I walked up, and I should have taken a picture because the billboard outside, it's an old school theater. I mean, it does mostly second runs, which is weird that they're showing Venom already this early. But hey, still had it on there. And, you know, I walk up, and I'm like, you know, ticket for Venom. And the guy gives me a quizzical look. He's like, what? I was like, a ticket for the movie that you're showing. And this place also does a lot of stand-up comedy routines. Well, Saturday night they had a stand-up comic, but they didn't change the billboard up front.
Oh, nice.
So he was confused because I was trying to walk in about 45 minutes late into this comic's set. And and there was no Venom being showed.
Gotcha.
So I then turned around and walked back home and decided to finish Daredevil. So I did try in the absolute laziest of ways of walking to go and see it. Apparently that didn't happen.
Yeah. All right. Cool story, bro.
So I would give myself a C minus on effort.
I'm not even going to get into that. Not even going to do it. Folks, we want your feedback. As always, let us know what you think about John's level of effort to go see Venom. Send us an email, guardians@randomchatter.com. Certainly, you can also catch up with us on Discord. You can message us individually. You can find us in the Guardians of the MCU showroom. You can find us on Twitter. You can find the network at Random Chatter. You can find our long-lost Miss Elizabeth on Twitter at TWT About Lizzie. John, where can we find you clearly not watching Venom?
You can find me rewatching Daredevil at Podcaster Supreme. Just keep typing until you run out of letters and you'll recognize you don't have one more E that you need.
All right. And of course, you can find me on Twitter at Qui-Gon Tim. That's Tim with two M's. And I kind of have to put out the bit of a disclaimer that my name isn't actually spelled with two M's. Like, people will send me emails and Dear Tim, T-I-M-M. That's no, right. Qui-Gon Tim is a play on Qui-Gon Jinn, which has two N's in it. So it's only one M. Just one.
That's funny.
That's it. You can find the network on Instagram. Random Chatter is our handle there. And of course, you can find all of our shows and blogs and polls and other good stuff, including also the movie draft information at randomchatter.com.
And please continue to spread the word and support us. As Tim pointed out, it's a little bit hard. We've kind of hit a bit of a standstill on new stuff coming out, but that doesn't mean you can't talk about Marvel going into the holiday season. As your folks try to talk about politics over the Thanksgiving turkey, throw out some Marvel news and then toss them to the podcast. Marvel news is way less controversial than politics around the Thanksgiving turkey. Polling has shown that. In terms of leaving reviews, actually, Tim, I went and checked. We've hit a bit of a slow start, so we may need a holiday giveaway. You know, maybe a Black Friday-esque to get some more reviews.
Yeah.
We'll have to noodle that.
Yeah, we can do something like that.
But please continue to, you know, tell your friends. Ooh, and I just random thought maybe some holiday thought ideas of, you know, episodes for the podcast. But if you want to pay attention to that, continue to follow us over at randomchatter.com/discord. Tim noticed and mentioned that you can access all of us via that. If you have any additional money and can support the network, it is the best way to help keep these shows going. randomchatter.com/Patreon. All of the money you donate, whether it's as little as a dollar a month or more, all of it goes to help keep this little network afloat and producing podcasts.
Yeah, there it is. We definitely appreciate your support. We appreciate you listening. And that is it for Guardians of the MCU episode number 24. We will see you folks in about a week. Thanks for listening.